is Eddie, and I was in a call.
Planet Earth about to be recycled. Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Started as an effort by a charismatic preacher to build a new society, but it ended, of course, with the tragic deaths of more than 900 people.
Please, for God's sake, let's get on with it. We've lived as no other people have lived and loved. We've had as much of this world as you're going to get. Let's just be done with it. Let's be done with the agony of it. This is a revolutionary suicide. This is not a self-destructive suicide. So they're paying for this. They brought this upon us.
You're in a cult. I love you, and I want you out of it and with Christ. But you're...
Sunday service, Kanye.
Yeah.
You got to get in the bars, man. Pac gave me these same bars, bro. That's why I'm here.
And I'm saying, I was just asking, why did you start Sunday service? For the simple fact of, like I said, was it the most popular thing to do? The world was watching. I would even go and I'd hear people say, oh, man, you're going to that cult. I have a great experience when I go to Sunday service. And I actually see people relax. I've seen people stand like this at Sunday service. And then as we start to go, I start to see them. You know what I'm saying? So I see what Sunday service is.
Man, I mean, dressing people in all white all the time was kind of cultish. You know what I'm saying? But that was.
All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Cultish, Entering the Kingdom of the Cults. My name is Jeremiah Roberts. I'm one of the co-hosts here. I'm here once again, as always, with Andrew, Super Sleuth Andrew, the Super Sleuth of the show.
What up?
Super excited for this episode. We are here with Stephen Bancars. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Good. So this is awesome because you're here with us in studio. You flew all the way out from Toronto, Canada. Just had to get away from the cold. You brought some of the cold with you.
You brought the rain.
You brought the rain.
The rain's down from Canada.
It's actually the latter rain.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
it's the new wine.
Yes. Oh, boy.
Falling on us right now.
We're going to get a couple YouTube comments just on that.
Oh, no, I'm trolling. So
but no, this is awesome because the very first episode of Cultish we ever filmed, You joined us via Skype, and we talked a lot about the New Age and the occult, and you have an extensive background in that. Now, just real quickly, for anyone who's listening in for the first time, just give a quick 2-minute version of like who you are, what's your background, what are you all about?
Yeah, I came out of the New Age movement. I used to have one of the largest New Age websites in the world, hundreds of thousands of views a day, making me 40, 50 grand a month. It was my career. Was a guest author on the largest New Age website in the world. I was really entrenched in this stuff. I really knew my material and had a radical experience with Christ. Got born again 4 years ago. I've been in full-time apologetics ministry ever since then. And now I'm exposing the very worldview and deception that had allured me. And by God's grace, it's bore a lot of fruit for his kingdom and drawn people out of the New Age movement as well. And yeah, we talked about that on the Cultish podcast about a year ago.
Roughly a year ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So now this is interesting because when we filmed, we definitely wanted to do future episodes together, but I never would have visualized or just foresaw the fact that you would be in studio and we would be talking about Kanye West. So like, I guess, why is this important to us? Why are we talking about it? So You have a large following. You've got a YouTube channel with around 200,000 subscribers. You're right up there. And so Kanye West released an album recently, Jesus is King, and it's created a lot of discussion just within the culture, but also within the body of Christ and within the Christian culture about what it is this. Is this something that he's got some sort of ulterior motives? Maybe he's trying to make a profit off of the Christian, you know, just trying to profit off of Christians voting with their wallets. Like, what's really going on here? And so you did two videos kind of talking about it and believing, just being really, you received it well, you were excited about it, but you received a lot of backlash from certain people that didn't quite like your perception on the album. So just tell me just real quickly, what is it about this whole Kanye thing that really kind of caught your attention? Like, why did you do the videos?
Right.
Tell me a little bit your motivation behind that.
Yeah, I think I identified with Kanye in one sense of knowing what it's like to make a profession of Christ and have nobody in your corner defending you. When I got saved in the online world, I had, you know, a joint following of about 1 million people, and I just had people calling me crazy and trying to debate with me, telling me to kill myself. And then I had Christians arguing with me in the comment section, telling me, why is your hair long if the Bible says it's a shame for men to have long hair?
What in the world?
Do you read the KJV Bible? What did you do with all your money? And then I had videos made about me on, you know, fairly large channels about how I was a New World Order shill, a paid shill, how I was, you know, under the spirit of Aleister Crowley, how I was part of Babylon, how I was a Satanist and teaching satanic doctrine, how in my testimony video I had onion paste under my eyes maybe because I was trying to pretend that I was saved to lead people astray because I was a hired agent, an actor. And so I've dealt with all those claims. I've had my past used against me. I've had girlfriends' social media accounts used against me in these videos. So when I saw all of these charges brought against Kanye, I was optimistic at first, and then I was like, okay, why are people skeptical? If we're going to be skeptical, you know, that's great. Let's be cautiously optimistic. Right. Let's give time to watch to see how this develops and pans out. That's fine. I was a little hasty in my judgments I made, admittedly. Mm-hmm. But I saw people that were coming at this with 100% certainty that he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, that he's a false convert, he's a false prophet, you name it. That's much different than saying, I don't know whether he's saved or not. I'm going to withhold judgment. You're making a positive judgment. He's 100% guilty. Right. And it wasn't just that. It was, if you don't see he's guilty, you're either a hired agent as well.
Right. You're part of it.
Or you lack spiritual discernment.
Hmm.
And you need to be exposed along with him. And I had never been exposed to anything like this since I got saved. Not like this. Mm-hmm. So I was like, whoa, wait a minute. You're saying I'm a shill. I'm a New World Order plant. I'm a reprobate. I'm an occultist just for suggesting that maybe Kanye is saved. Well, on what basis do you make that claim?
Right.
And then I was seeing all of these charges brought against Kanye. Well, he did this. Well, he said that. Well, look at this video over here and the evidence it presents. And I watch it and I'm like, I've seen every video of Kanye post-conversion. I've watched both interviews that Adam Tyson has released publicly about him.
Yeah.
I've heard what he has had to say. I've heard his witness. I've read all the lyrics to the album. And so I have a context by which to interpret some of this other stuff, that these charges that are being brought against him. And I'm thinking, have we lost it as the church where someone can be, for example, accused of preaching a false gospel and a false Christ, and you ask them why, and they can't point to a single thing. It's just a vacuous, empty accusation. And I have positive evidence that he didn't do that. Right. I can say in Big Boy TV interview, which I watched, he says that the reason people don't want to come to Christ and they want their own version of Christianity is because they have sin in their life they don't want to repent for. Not everyone's going to make it through the gates. You have to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's either paradise or Fahrenheit, heaven or hell.
Right, yeah.
And then you have Adam Tyson preaching the full counsel of God at his Sunday services. And I'm thinking, Kanye does not preach a false gospel.
Right.
There's not any evidence for that. There's there's what he said about Mormons and T.D. Jakes and prosperity. Right. There's, but here's another thing. Let's comment on that real quick.
Yeah.
There's a difference between preaching a false gospel and preaching a true gospel and thinking other people have it when they don't. So Kanye has the gospel down. He thinks Mormons and Roman Catholics preach the true gospel too when they don't. He's mistaken about what they believe.
Yeah, right.
But
right,
that's much different than being mistaken about the gospel itself.
Right.
Right. And so I was assessing some of these claims, a claim this video was getting passed around with 10,000 views. Kanye's on tour for the devil. I watched it for 2 minutes because people kept referring it to me, and I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a chance. It's this pastor saying, no one can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. And so he named his album Jesus is King because it's Satan's way to avoid saying Jesus is Lord. And he says this, he says, he hasn't said Jesus is Lord yet. He can't say it. I'm daring him to say it. And I'm like, he has a song called Jesus is Lord. It's the last track on his album.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, at Sunday service, October 27th, he's up there singing it.
Yeah.
Jesus is Lord. So I'm like, he said it 3 days earlier. It's a track off his album. If we just do 2 seconds of research, look at the track list, we would know that's false information. Why is this being passed off as discernment? As if this is what being vigilant and testing the spirits means.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's not a matter of defending Kanye and being a Kanye apologist. Whether he's saved or not, for me, is off the table. That's not the angle that I'm approaching this at.
Yeah.
My angle is I take offense and problem with weak charges, unfair charges, or false charges being used to justify a certainly guilty verdict prior to cross-examination, prior to the testimony of witnesses and the testimony of the man himself.
Right.
And because that's when you start contradicting and forsaking the law of God, going against New Testament and Old Testament law. And when this stuff starts getting passed off as biblical discernment, when skepticism and suspicion gets equated for discernment, they're not the same thing.
Right.
And if that's where we're at in the church right now, you know, looking for a little symbol on an album cover or something and using that to invalidate hours worth of publicly professed testimony of Christ, I'm sorry, but we need to reassess how we approach these things and make sure we're doing it biblically.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things I want to say too is that when I have made a post, I want to give context for it for any of us who follow us on our social media. How I started seeing a lot of the discernment, like conspiracy theorists and discernment and stuff like that. And I made a kind of intentionally inflammatory post, and I was a little heated when I want to give people context. So when I used the word discernment mafia, so the context was is that I had just watched one of the Sunday services, the one in LA at the Forum. Adam Tyson gets up there and he preached for 15 minutes and preached a full counsel of God in between that whole Sunday service. And next thing you know, I saw in one of my Instagram stories were people talking about, oh, here's this oval shape, and they're all of a sudden they're on an eye, and they're channeling these demonic realms, and it's all deception. They're making hand signals, and all these things are very vague and arbitrary, and assuming the intent of the artist, and essentially trying and convicting them in their own mind. And so I wasn't even saying that necessarily to defend Kanye, but my perception of that was that they're calling Adam Tyson, who's on stage preaching the full counsel of God and saying this is totally a work of Satan, you're calling someone who is an elder, someone who's a pastor, you're calling them a minister of Satan, or the fact that they don't even have any level of discernment, being in that context a lot more than you do, being just looking at these random clips together, someone who's spent hours, and you've talked about it, who, if you got also, if you go to Apologia Studios and look at the interview that Jeff and Luke did, talking with Adam Tyson, and knowing what he believes doctrinally, and he spent time personally, like hours with him, knowing that he can in good conscience go, this is an opportunity to preach the gospel. That's why I reacted that way, because in a sense, you are, and I said, if the Apostle Paul got saved today, discernment mafia were around the first century, they would have labeled the Apostle Paul as some sort of shill and somebody invading the church. And they probably would have taken footage from his past prior conversion of when he's killing Christians and would have used that against them. So, and that's part of, I was mostly charged when I used that post, but that's really what we want to have in this discussion. We're not here to necessarily defend Kanye. We're not here to be advocate and Kanye apologist. There's legitimate concerns that we have, and we want to delve into that. But the question is, how are we approaching this issue? What is the aspect of determining, even like we're a show about cults and even like cultish and fringe movements, how do we look at certain things like conspiracies or things that are together? We're not denying those things exist. We're questioning, how do we bring to the surface these sort of accusations, or what are Kanye's true motives? Like, how do we look at this holistically? That's really where it's all at.
Yeah. And I think as well, when we're looking at the, or what we've heard Stephen say, there's things that he's talking about, like charges that have been brought, evidence. So we hear Stephen talking about physical evidence that he's actually heard from witnesses who actually know Kanye. But on the other hand, we have people with symbolic evidence that's not physical or tangible in this reality. And if they know something, knowledge has to deposit truth. It's saying that they actually know what the truth is of the situation. And well, how, I think what we need to do is attack it presuppositionally. Well, how do we even know what truth is, right? If we talk about discernment, if we talk about justice, if we talk about any of those things, those are actually reflections of attributes in the character of God. And he actually gives us a way to understand who he is and a reflection of his word. And he gives us his law on how to even bring up a charge against anybody in the first place.
Yeah.
So if what they're doing is actually in contradiction to God's law and God's word, then what we can say is, do they really know what the truth is?
Right.
Yeah.
And they will say, some people will say, well, you know, I'm just testing the spirits. I'm just being vigilant. And, you know, I'm being noble like the Bereans. Or I'm being skeptical like the disciples were first skeptical of Paul.
Right.
But why did they start believing Paul? Because Paul had a witness, right? Why were the Bereans called more noble than the other Jews?
They cross-checked them to the Old Testament.
They cross-checked them.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about the Bereans is that it says that they searched the scriptures daily,
yep.
which means that they had been exposed to the preaching of Paul and Silas daily, which means they actually had all of the content in front of them.
Mm.
And they had actually been exposed to something, right? And there's a lot of people who I've seen on, you know, in ministry and just in comment threads of YouTube videos and Facebook posts all over social media where they are trying to take the Berean approach of testing everything against the scripture, which is great, but they haven't been exposed to the content like the Bereans were.
Right.
Right. They were exposed to teaching hours and hours and hours of their teaching, and then they were taking that to the scriptures versus watching none of Kanye's interviews versus hearing nothing from his witness and then pronouncing a premature early verdict against the law of God with certainty.
Exactly.
And what people will do is, so I just want to comment on this real quickly, is what I've observed that goes on in the body of Christ is that suspicion is automatically equated with discernment. Like if I can be skeptical about something, that means I'm being discerning about something, right? The disciples were skeptical about Paul. They were wrong. They were wrong in their discernment, right? But I can be skeptical about the air I'm breathing. That doesn't mean I'm being rational.
Right.
I can be skeptical that there's a world of physical objects in front of me. That doesn't mean I'm being discerning. In fact, there's times where skepticism would prove I have absolutely no discernment. For example, if I wanted to say, Paul Washer's not a Christian, right? I'm skeptical he's a Christian. Why? Because the Bible says there's going to be false prophets in the end days. Why? Because even Satan can masquerade himself as an angel of light. Even Satan can quote from scripture, you know, Even the elect can be deceived. And all of these verses, test the spirit, be vigilant and sober-minded. The devil's, you know, prowling around like a roaring right. lion. And I can use all these verses, but if I actually examined his ministry and his teaching, all of these verses were incorrectly applied to Paul Washer, but I didn't know they were incorrectly applied because I hadn't actually examined his ministry yet.
Right.
Right? In order to discern anything, to discern means to properly judge what's in front of you. But I have to actually have something in front of me before I can discern it all.
And it reminds me as well of in Psalm 82:6, where the Bible's talking about unjust judges. Well, a lot of unjust judges, and what they do is they circumvent the law of God. So we can have testing the spirits and having, you know, make sure you look at all of this information in order to test it all correctly. But if you don't have the correct foundation to even test all of that from, you're still going to come up with an improper conclusion.
That's right.
You know, and God, what does God say about the unjust judges? He right. says that they're going to die like all men and be judged by God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a scary thought.
Yeah. And so there's this idea of due process that Nicodemus brought up when the Pharisees. So basically in John chapter 7, this is kind of an interesting passage because the officers started to believe in Jesus, and the Pharisees were like, have any of the teachers of the law believed in Jesus? And Nicodemus steps in, and he's like, wait a minute, does our law permit us to judge a man without first giving him a trial mm-hmm. and hearing what it is that he does? And so Nicodemus knew, hey, before we can pass judgment, we're not going to judge by appearance off a couple headlines that get snapshot and passed around social media. Let's give him a fair trial, search the entire fruit basket before we pass a verdict.
Right.
Right. Nicodemus was holding the Pharisees to this standard, and the Pharisees, out of their hardness of heart, wanted to forsake that and were willing to suppress the truth of scripture to do it. Their response was, always. Haven't you searched the scriptures? There's no prophet that arises out of Galilee, when Nahum and Jonah did, and maybe Elijah too. And so they were willing to suppress the truth to reach the guilty verdict or turn a blind eye to the truth, not just to not examine. They failed to examine, but they're also willing, out of hardness of heart, to ignore blatant truth that's right in front of them in order to pass this guilty verdict.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And an analogy for that would be some clips I've seen get passed around of Kanye, whether he's saved or not, once again, irrelevant. But it's like, are these charges true? And when they're demonstrably false, and they're left up there for the world to see, in what sense, once we know they're false now, we know that there's preaching that goes on at these Sunday services, for example. Preaching has gone on there since about May, when he claimed to have been saved. There's a quote that gets passed around online of Khloe and Kim Kardashian on Jimmy Kimmel saying there's no preaching there, it's not some religious thing. That switched up when Kanye had a conversation with his father, and now there's preaching there. And September 13th on The View, Kim says there's preaching there. We have access to these full sermons,
right?
Adam Tyson preaching, but there's still videos that are left up saying there's no preaching that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And in what sense is that not pharisaical, like John chapter 7, mm-hmm. where you're suppressing the truth or willfully ignoring the truth in scripture to pass a guilty verdict out of a hardness of heart, right? If we have knowledge that this charge is false, I have to take that down and edit the video if I want, edit that part out. But to leave that up to me signifies a pharisaical hardness of heart.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
And there's a part of me too, if you guys listen to the very beginning of this episode, we played a clip of Kanye on his interview with Big Boy TV, and he was talking about, I almost kind of laugh because he mentions the name of our podcast. He says a couple of the early Sunday services, yeah, they definitely seem kind of cultish with all the white clothing and stuff like that. And I remember we made a post on our social media probably a couple months ago asking people, like, what do you think of it? What do you think of what's really going on? And I honestly thought maybe there is some sort of potential religious cult going on here. Uprising, or maybe this is just some sort of publicity stunt because it's just Kanye always doing something. And I'm also viewing through the filter of someone who's kind of watched and followed his career at least since 2005, and you know, seeing some of his outbursts, whether there's certain interviews or jumping up at the MTV Awards, I believe, and interrupting Taylor Swift, and just seeing that whole persona about him. So almost kind of putting him in a positive light was almost a level of conviction for me, because again, none of us, only at the end of the day, only really God knows what's really going on, where Kanye's heart is at. But seeing the fact, I never for once even thought that it would be a legitimate thing, that he's legitimately saved. But then after hearing the interviews with Adam Tyson and listening to a lot of his talks, and especially just listening to the content within that album, that like there's more distinct and correct like theology. And he even asked Adam Tyson, hey, can you just double check to make sure that the lyrical content is biblically accurate? Like, people don't know that. Or even the fact that even in the song God Is, there's one of the lyrics that says, this ain't about no damn religion, and he changed it. He went back and he adjusted it, says this ain't about no dead religion, because he was convicted about it. I shouldn't have said that word, like, in that lyric. And so for me, there was this level of conviction where I didn't presume innocence. And so, again, I'm not trying to be the Kanye apologist. I'm saying that we have to look at the whole situation. We have to look at it holistically and biblically about it. So real quickly, let's talk about a couple of on that note, let's talk about some of the concerns we do have that are legitimate and are biblical. So one of the things I would say is there's an aspect where you think about it too, Stephen, like the first 6 months that you were saved. What were the things that you were into? Were the things like Doreen Virtue, who's been on our program, things that she was into the first couple months or year that she was saved? People would look at that and say, no, there's no way, that's definitely like a false convert, you know? So I would say, like, one of the things too is there's a level of he's learning a lot, but he's still a brand new convert. So you do have to be careful of that. And like one of the biggest things too is one of the ways that cultish movement starts or cults start is they don't operate under authority. So there is a concern right now where, you know, Adam Tyson has talked to him about, he's not his ecclesiastical pastor, but if he operates where he's not under church or pastoral authority, and let's just say all of a sudden he starts theologically going towards modalism, or he denies the Trinity, he starts doing something that kind of pushes towards something cultist theologically, where you're dealing with something essential about the deity of Jesus, and let's say he starts getting off kilter there, that could be very quickly dangerous and volatile. But that's a concern. But again, just because we have a concern, and you guys can jump into this, doesn't give us precedent to try and convict him in absentia of our own minds. Because honestly, I don't know the conversations that Kanye has had. Maybe he's in contact with a pastor now and figuring that out. I don't know. But again, I can't establish something just in conjecture. I could have concerns, but that doesn't give me a precedent to try and convict him to say, oh, he's going to start this whole thing. So right. You guys, give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is that any charge that has to be brought against has to have 2 to 3 independent lines of testimony.
Right.
When we think about that, we're thinking about physical, tangible evidence, not things that are not rooted in reality, like thoughts and subjective thinking about symbols.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So God's law is a safeguard. God cares about justice. It's a reflection of his character. So how can you cross-examine somebody's thought process? You really can't. So the charge shouldn't be brought up in the first place. Like you said, God knows his intentions of the heart, right? Mm-hmm. People don't. So the question is why do people want to instantly go there? Why do they want to go so fastly to right. subjective symbolic interpretation of something in order to circumvent the law of God?
Mm-hmm.
What's the appeal?
Yeah, I think that there's, there's a desire that people have to feel correct, and there's a desire people have to have special secret knowledge that other people don't, and that's always been a temptation for man. It was really the first temptation in the garden.
Yeah,
it was a temptation for me in the occult. And within Christianity, you know, within hyper-charismatic movements, other forms of, you know, strange outshoots of Christianity, this desire for secret knowledge, special knowledge that gives me intellectual superiority over another person.
Right.
And I feel like what I've observed is there seems to be some trends behind some of the most outspoken, you know, accounts and forms of social media pertaining to Kanye, and a lot of them they forsake the gathering of the brethren. They aren't involved in a local body. A lot of them have like Hebrew roots elements to their walk with Christ, or Seventh-day Adventist elements. Like they think that worshiping on a Sunday is pagan, and the every holiday celebrating it is pagan and is an abomination. And that's that same camp. And these people, I've interacted with some of them, and some of them have been hurt by Christians, and they've been hurt by the church. And so now they want Jesus, but they don't want the form of Christianity they had before. Mm. They want a form of Christianity that makes them feel like they're justified in their pain, if you will. Mm. That they're justified in maybe their unforgiveness or their resentment or contempt toward mainstream evangelicalism, which hurt them. But now I can adopt this position that's empowering, where I'm intellectually superior, right? I'm in the know,
right.
You know, and I can justify my rejection of them because they're false prophets. They're deceived. They're the blind leading the blind. The ones who hurt me were blind, right? They aren't in the know like I am. And so when I've been pressing some individuals online about their evidence, they're very quick to be, they're very fast to speak and fast to anger.
Mm.
And that's not evidence of operating in the spirit.
Right.
That's not evidence of cooperating with God. But there's this kind of like echo chamber where it's almost like there's a difference between raising valid concerns and saying something without having investigated it
right.
for the purpose of hearing amen, brother, from your echo chamber and receiving the applause of man and getting power and identity and security from having people pat you on your back for being uncompromising in your wielding of the word of God. And I can't prove that that's going on in certain individuals, but that's a pattern that I've seen.
Yeah.
And like Jeremiah said there, you know, there are some things that are concerning. There's some things that are bothersome that Kanye has said, that, you know, and the Bible says this, and I believe it's 1 Timothy 5:24, the sins of some people are obvious, conspicuous, right, while the others are revealed later, right? And so being cautiously optimistic, cautiously skeptically optimistic, after having researched and actually done a full fruit examination, that's wisdom.
Yeah,
that's great. But there's a difference between that and saying he is 100% certainly involved in the Illuminati on the basis of this. And then it's like, okay, let's go investigate that.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Joel Osteen, he spoke at Joel Osteen's church recently. We could talk so many different rabbit trails, but
no, it's like, some
apparent evidence that he's involved in the occult and that this is some kind of like an occultist scheme by the world elites. First of all, I would rule that out as a possibility a priori because of what Kanye has said in his interviews.
What do you think could you clarify what a priori would mean for the listeners?
Prior to consideration. And now, so I think I have an in principle reason to reject the Illuminati theory on the basis of things Kanye has said and done in post-conversion interviews or post-profession interviews, where he talks about things like having as many children as possible is God's will.
Right.
Wants Jesus in schools, Jesus in the country. He's anti-abortion. He's anti-Democrat. He's a staunch capitalist who is encouraging people to go buy land, to be private owners of land. Anyone in the woke community, the discernment community, will know that Agenda 21 is a heavy pseudo-Marxist depopulation type agenda that apparently the world elites want to start working toward. Mm. Kanye opposes them on all their major tenets.
In the opposite, okay.
Yeah, pro-family, pro-private land, pro-capitalism, anti-Democrat, have as many children as you possibly can. That goes against the worldview and plan of the Illuminati, according to any conspiracy theorist. Mm-hmm. And so when we see these weird symbols in there, we have to interpret this against the backdrop of the fact that he's contradicting them on every single major tenet. He tells people, unless you've received Jesus, the Jesus of Scripture, you're not going to go to heaven. And he says, and I say Jesus Christ because I don't want you getting it confused with green juice. I don't want you getting it confused with yoga. I don't want you getting it confused with, but I'm a good person.
Right.
He's like, try saying that when you get to the gates. Mm. You didn't accept the Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but I'm a good person. So we know he's referring to the Jesus of Scripture.
Right.
And so when it comes to, we have to use that as our interpretive context for seeing some of these things, like a temporary hand sign held up. I'm not even going to hold it up in the camera now. I'll get accused of being something. But
right.
We already are.
Right. But there's an interpretive framework, which is his testimony and the testimony of his witnesses. Now we're going to examine the charges in light of that. Right. And right. So when we actually examine them, they don't prove out, even if we didn't have that background information. Like, for example, the Joel Osteen,
the stage
yes. is in the shape of an eye. It's been in that shape since 2012 when they rebuilt the stage. They did that for acoustic purposes. The lines in the stage and the shape are meant to help reverb sound waves out. So it's acoustic design. It's a basic theater design. So unless we want to start calling basic theater design satanic, we have a problem here.
Yeah, and even that article, it implies the fact that somehow Kanye and his team secretly sort of built up this set themselves. And thus, now they're making some sort of a prop that they're altering in this sort of secret deception into the church. But again, right. Just a little bit of research. Like, how long did it take you to research that?
I just Googled Joel Osteen's church stage, and I saw pictures of it looked like an oval from before he was there. So it's like, but that's why is that our standard of investigation, right. To bring a charge like that against someone, whether they're saved or not, that the false charge that can be debunked in 2 seconds of a Google research.
Yeah, and that's right. One of the things that I was noticing too is that I did that post and a lot of people got really worked up about it, both on our Facebook and Instagram pages when I talked about the discernment mafia. And again, I'm not talking about people, for example, even though there's areas in which I don't agree with them theologically, Justin Peters. I have a tremendous amount of respect for the man. I think there's a lot of good that he does. And I think he, in a lot of ways, I actually really am thankful for him, how he's really dealt in many ways, I think, very level-headedly with his sort of concerns on many levels. It's felt like a breath of fresh air compared to a lot of this sort of tinfoil hat discernment, which I'm going to fairly call it, because it's bad. And all honestly, it's embarrassing because on a level where you're claiming to be a Christian and you're claiming to know Christ, but then as soon as you go to discernment and trying to determine truth, you automatically become a Gnostic and almost sort of that worldview that came out of the New Age or the occult, you're adopting a New Age Gnostic occultic mindset with trying to discern this because you're appealing to secret knowledge. I saw multiple people that I was interacting with. I have the screenshots. Again, you want to talk about witness and testimony. People who were saying how Jesus has given me private revelations. He's given me secret knowledge about what's going on with Kanye, so therefore I'm in the know, I know, and you don't. And any of these things, that I kept on getting tagged over and over again on this stuff, and as soon as, I have experienced the same thing, as soon as I just started the Law of God, it allows for people who bring accusations to cross-examine,
mm-hmm.
And as soon as I was cross-examining any of these things that they were tagging me in, immediately I got lashed out at. I was called a wolf, I was called a Freemason, that possibly even we were plans for the CIA. I mean, and all these things just for questioning their operative thinking. And there's something that's a real problem when we look at that. So again, we're not saying that you have to believe, you have to accept our point of view that or even that you have to believe that Kanye is saved. You want to be concerned, but you want to do look in the way that's rational and deal with it level headedly.
Yeah, the Bible says this in Ezekiel 36:27. It says that God takes our heart of stone and replaces it with a heart of flesh, and He causes us to observe His statutes. So the law of God is His statutes, right? Deuteronomy 19:15. 2 to 3 independent lines of testimony. Deuteronomy 17:6, 2 to 3 independent lines of testimony. It's a safeguard. It's a protection, even for the person from sinning against somebody else.
Right.
You know what I mean? So God Himself incarnate, Jesus Christ, in Isaiah 9, it says that the government will be on His shoulders. Jesus mm-hmm. Christ cares about law. He cares about justice. You as a Christian, being a little Christ in a sense, a follower of Christ, should want to imitate that.
Right.
You know, and if we want to circumvent the law of God, it's a scary position to be in when you're in the discernment ministry, to try to push those things aside just to put your agenda into
right.
it.
Right. Like, I don't have to examine any of His own testimony. I don't have to watch a couple hours worth of what Kanye has said about His own conversion, His own testimony. I can assume guilty until proven innocent, something that won't even pass in a courtroom full of unsaved reprobates. The presumption of guilty prior to examination doesn't even pass in man's court. Why would you think that would pass in God's court when Jesus is on the throne?
Dude, exactly. So our duty as Christians, when we read the Bible, we want to know our Savior. We want to love our Savior, right? We want to get to know Him personally. And we do that by reading His word. So my question for anyone that would be involved in that intense discernment camp is, do you know your God? Like, have you sit back and thought about that? Because that's acting totally contrary to His nature and His law,
right?
And that worries me for any of you guys. I want you to know Him. I want you to love Him. And yeah, I mean,
right,
it's just pretty wild.
And once again, there's that distinction between, I don't know whether He's not saved or not. I have a personal opinion He's not, but if I'm going to publicly condemn Him and pass 100% certain guilty verdict, and my charges are either weak or insufficient
right.
to get there. And by the nature of the charges, I'm revealing I have not examined the testimony of His witness or of Him. You do have to ask the question, what is my motive here? Am I really being motivated by the Spirit?
Right.
You know, is this something that the Lord has laid on my heart to do and say, or is this me doing my best to try and serve God while operating in my flesh? Or am I trying to serve the Lord in the Lord's way? Right, because Jesus says this. He said, and this is serious to me. I take this seriously. And this is why I most often don't speak about ministers and stuff online unless I've really delved into their ministry.
Right. But
Jesus says, we will give an account for every idle word we speak, every useless word that we speak against another person. We're going to give an account for.
He cares.
Right. By our words, we will be justified. By our words, we will be condemned. He cares about what we end up saying about other people. Because here's what happens. You stand before Him on judgment day, and you have a servant of the Lord called of God. And you're standing next to that servant, and Jesus is like, you were speaking idle words and untrue words, slander, false witness, contrary to my standard of due process. And, you know, I'm not Calvinist, so I would say, and you impeded the ministry I wanted to perform through that individual's life for the good of my kingdom and the people that were called to listen to Him. And so now you're going to have to give an account for those people who did not receive edification and maybe salvation through the ministry I wanted to do to that individual because of your false witness and the idle words you were speaking, contrary to my law, contrary to proper investigation and research. I'm not going there. I am not going to go. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so let's talk about just a couple of the things that were brought up as far as the different conspiracy theories or just sort of these formulated accusations that there's these occultic and Masonic accusations against Kanye. This is just for example. So you made this post. I gave you the idea talking about Kanye's record and your opening sequence of what you said was so like you said you loved it. You said
that's cool.
Made me laugh.
Nice.
For days after.
Yeah. Sweet.
Because what did you say at the beginning? Is are you rooted in tinfoil hat conspiracy?
Is your skepticism of Kanye West rooted in paranoid tinfoil hat conspiracy causes you to reach unjust conclusions contrary to the law of God? It was like the most loaded question you could possibly ask someone.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's an example where it's like, this obviously hasn't been investigated. And this was used as like a knockdown argument.
Oh yeah. And they had and people had no answer. And they said, oh, well, let's take a look at the album cover. It's got the number AR331A, which is on the record. If you look up the album, Jesus is King. And so this is definitive evidence that there's some sort of secret Masonic code. And it has like the number 33, or it has a secret symbol, and it's also blue and gold. And so people use that. But if you follow social media, we made this post talking about how this is literally, it mimics a record. You just do a little bit of research back from the 1970s. I think it's kind of cool. And it's from the original Glorious Church of God in Christ by Ruby Shelton. And he talks about, and the cool thing is too, is that his name is Ruby. And so in a sense, he's sort of paying homage to the past, saying that ye recognizes ye. And so it's really just this homage to this old gospel album. And that's a factory print code. That's what happened with all records.
Yeah.
That's all that it is. But all of a sudden people have this assumption of guilt, and they take those colors and they associate it that this is definitive guilt. And just for example, I'll show this. So I bought this hoodie almost as a joke. And if you guys are watching this on YouTube channel, because I mean, with me questioning a lot of these people online, there's immediately this association that all of a sudden, Apologia Studios, we're Freemasons. So I kind of jokingly bought this thing on Amazon for $24. So there literally would be people who would take the fact that I'm wearing a blue hoodie talking about Jesus is King, that somehow I'm secretly associated with the Freemasons and I'm defending Kanye. They'll spin this thing together. And that's the problem with this whole level of reasoning. And this is where it gets cultish with discernment, is that people, it's almost that a lot of the, and I'm not saying conspiracies don't happen, they do, and I love that stuff. We've got a couple of cool episodes coming up about particular things regarding Epstein and stuff like that. I mean, that's a big thing, all the different Epstein didn't kill himself memes. But almost there's a level of a lot of this conspiracy theorism is really, it's almost like a mind-altering narcotic, where if you constantly deal with paranoia and are looking at this stuff all the time, that you just live in this level where you can't rationally look through anything. I mean, I've seen a couple of these videos of talking about the great Kanye deception, and they're playing this paranoid, like exorcist music, trying to convince you of something. The guy looks like wide eye, like he's just terrified. He's about to have a panic attack. And it's like, dude, that's not like, if you were like, here's the thing. If you're in a court of law, right, and you are a prosecutor, are you allowed to bring in your boombox and hit play and play a bunch of exorcist music as you make the case to try and convince the jury? Would you be allowed to do that? Like, no.
And I actually saw a video. Sorry, but I actually saw a video. It was accusing Kanye of using marketing techniques to promote his album, doing different, designs about when to release an album, or just basic marketing techniques, how to name it, how to color it.
How to take dominion in the marketing realm.
How to just
selling records.
How to be effective doing what you do.
But that
same video, of course, used a lot of editing and used sensationalist music to try and communicate a point and amp people up for their agenda as well. And so it's ironic and it's hypocritical. And like you said, the number, I just want to comment on this real quick, the number, it's a pressing plant code. Mm-hmm. And then on the right side of the album, it says number 33. And people say, well, why does it say 33 RPM? Well, RPM means rotations per minute.
Right.
33, 45, and 72 are the most common vinyl record speeds. And so that's something where you have one of the primary pieces of evidence used to justify this idea that, you know, he's a Masonic actor planted by the Illuminati on the basis of this evidence. This guy comes out with a record store in Detroit. He's like, this is an old artillery record, you know, gospel track, that here's what the numbers mean. It means nothing conspiratorial. And that takes 2 seconds of research, right? So
It's like, where is your fear of God rooted in those conspiracies? Do you have a fear of God, or do you have a fear of man? You know, if we rightly fear God, we will be guided by his law, because we fear not the one who can kill our body, but who can destroy our soul and send it to hell. Right?
Yeah.
But if you fear man, all of your thoughts are going to be rooted in conspiracy, because it's about this world ruled secret society, whatever. But I believe that Jesus is king, that all authority on heaven and earth was given to him. And he says, go therefore, you know, he is the actual true king. I don't believe that there's these secret societies, you know, controlling everything. So where my question is, where's the fear of God? Or is it more of just a fear of man?
Sure.
Yeah, and even the fact that if you look at whatever is going on with secret societies, the Illuminati, the Knights Templar, the Masons, Skull and Bones, or all these things, like, at the end of the day, if you approach this from a Christian worldview, you're supposed to begin with the fact that in the beginning, God,
right,
Genesis 1:1, that you have a God who spoke the world into existence, and he works all things according to the pleasure of his good will. So God has purpose and intent with whatever's going on behind whatever Kanye's motive, this guy who's so high up in the sphere of a public figure,
mm-hmm.
and he knows what's going on. And at the end of the day, like, I don't know his motives, but even if you look at what happens, like the Bible talks about, and we were talking this before the show, in Philippians, when Paul talks about he's in jail, there's people who are out there preaching the message for ulterior motives. And they, some of them even to try and discourage him while he's in chains. But he says, at the end of the day, though, Christ is being preached. And for that, I rejoice. So I don't know what his motives are. But again, if you look at some, I've seen like even YouTube comments of people that were in the new, like New Agers, like you came out of the New Age. And there's a YouTube comment on the section on the song God Is. And someone, they said, like, this is really persuading me to embrace Christianity. And then it says parentheses edit. He goes, I decided to give my life to Christ. If I don't, I don't know if I'm going to be able to live any longer. Like, and I just got like teary eyed, but I gave all the glory to God. Like in that moment, like praise the Lord. So even though if I don't know Kanye's motives, the fact that if he is giving glory to Christ, talking about worshiping Christ, and you look at all of those lyrics, and especially mm-hmm. the one that kind of really got to me when you talk about, and this is another thing too, is that like I follow his career. He's always someone who's hasn't been shy to voice his opinion. Like, you just named the interview. What's the name of the one interview that was done a couple of years ago where he's talking about he's Da Vinci in the flesh?
Sway of the Universe.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I'll go on that more in a second. But he's always someone that's spoken his mind. But when he's talking, for example, it's very public, in fact, the issues with mental health and his bipolar that he had. And there's a couple of videos, if you look up online too, where he was doing a concert recently from one of his previous albums, and he just had this mental breakdown on stage where he just ranted and kind of walked off after just a couple of songs. And people just thought he was, it's a public record. He went to the hospital. He had this mental breakdown. But I remember there's a level of just believability when he's talking about Jesus saved me, now I'm sane.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a level, like,
that's heavy.
Even if Kanye has bad motives,
mm-hmm.
there's a level of the gospel. Yeah. Like when you first got saved, when you had like that video that you have, it's like 800,000 views. And there's a level of clarity, this mental sure. clarity when you saw all the creation that was giving like glory to God, and you understood that it was the real Jesus of Nazareth testifying to you.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, that even if Kanye, and that, let's just say he has bad motives, it's what he's singing about doesn't negate the fact that what he's singing about is definitively true. When That's someone right. embraces the true gospel of Jesus Christ and knows the real Jesus of Nazareth as a personal Lord and Savior, you have a new mind. You're mm-hmm. given a new heart. Like, that's a reality, and that's true regardless of what Kanye's motives are.
Yeah, and I want to comment, too, on his bipolar.
Yeah.
Because, so for me, there's a bunch of, there's different categories. Some people are saying, I don't know whether he's saved or not. I'm going to be cautiously optimistic. Let it pan out. Great. Amazing. That's wisdom. There's some who are saying he's 100% a false convert. And then there's others who are saying he's 100% an Illuminati puppet. Right. Now, if the only option on the table for me is that he's, as far as the skeptical camp goes, is that he's self-deceived about his own salvation. God's moving in spite of his self-deception. He'll be the one who says, Lord, Lord, you know, and then depart from me, I never knew you. But this idea that he's like a satanic Illuminati plant on the basis of claims that can be explained with 2 seconds of research. I'll talk about the dome structure in a sec.
Yes. That's a big one. In fact, if you look at our episode, we posted that picture particularly
mm-hmm.
just to get your attention.
Right.
But yes.
But as far as the claim goes that he's like an Illuminati satanic puppet, when he's pro-family, pro-private land, have as many children as you can, keep Jesus in the country, Jesus in the schools, anti-abortion, Trump-supporting, anti-Democrat, like all these things go against what any conspiracy theorist will tell you is the Illuminati agenda. But also, what about his bipolar disorder? If I'm one of the, quote, world elite working in some deep state occultic agenda, am I going to get someone who has clinical bipolar disorder to do my bidding for me? Can I rely on someone like that? If I'm the Antichrist and I'm someone who's going to end up working for him, and I'm laying the foundation for the Antichrist under like a premillennial dispy eschatology, am I going to pick someone who's bipolar, who can flip on a dime and tweak out and reveal all the information he's not supposed to on a dime, who's known for having mental breakdowns and walking off stage? Is that someone I'm going to call to be the front runner of an Illuminati agenda, someone who is mentally unstable? The answer is obviously no.
Right.
Now, I mean, it's silly. And then the other question is, if he is in fact an Illuminati puppet and a Satanist, I heard someone say he's a hardcore Satanist,
yeah,
and he sold his soul to the devil already, and he said it in this. It's like, well, that's his past life. You know, Jesus doesn't judge you for the sins of your past life, and neither do I. And if we want to start playing that game,
he died for them.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, the measure you meet against others will be measured back to you. So if you want to start pointing to his past, that's a reason to invalidate his profession. Mm. If that starts happening to you, what are we going to find?
Yeah.
But the point is that they will point to certain things in his life as evidence that he is like an Illuminati, end times, world elitist puppet. And the question comes up, if he's actually willfully participating in that, can Satan cast out Satan?
Right.
Jeremiah brought this up to me, where it's like, we do know this. We do know that someone who is self-deceived about their conversion and ensnared by the devil and blinded by the god of this world, you know, 2 Timothy 2:25, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that someone who's under either the effects of Satan or the oppression of Satan can bear good fruit for God's kingdom and do many mighty things in his name and say to Jesus, Lord, Lord, and say, I never knew you. But if someone is willfully serving Satan,
right,
and cooperating with Satan and is now bearing good fruit for God and causing people to give their life, holding altar calls for people to come give their lives, 1,000 people coming up. There was someone who went to a Sunday service recently, said that Kanye didn't speak. He just came up to sing Jesus is Lord. He was very humble. He was in the background. There was an altar call. 1,000 people came forward to give their lives to Christ. If that's a deliberate satanic effort by someone who is willfully serving Satan and a part of the Illuminati, can Satan cast out Satan? Can a kingdom divided against itself stand?
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
In which case, at best, he's self-deceived about his own conversion. Maybe there's things to be concerned about that allow us to reach that conclusion.
Yeah.
But the Illuminati puppet thing, I'm sorry, there's no evidence for that.
Yeah. And one of the biggest problems too, and this is honestly just, it's embarrassing and it's just terrible discernment with dealing with all this, is that you are using someone's past to charge them in the present about something that's completely separate from that. So just, if you want to look at something that's blasphemous, and I'll say it, I would say it's blasphemous, but I cannot use it against him in this particular instance. So in the Yeezus tour, Kanye would have this moment where he would have someone dressed up as Jesus come out on stage, and he would do this whole sort of dialogue interaction. And I was so uncomfortable even just watching it, and doing research for this. And you act in this, concerts in Seattle on the Yeezus tour, there's a guy, the guy who comes out as Jesus, they're doing this dialogue, and there's people in the front row who are filming it, and there's like, Kanye, dude, this is not right. This is like too far. Like, they're honestly scared of what he's doing. But at the same time, that this is the problem too, is that they're taking these clips from like in the past or one of his award shows where he's got like these angelic wings, you know, trying to say that he's part of this like grand deception. But you're spinning all these things together. But the reality is that you're spinning this all together in an assumption of your own mind, and trying and convicting him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you're doing it via private revelation, whereas the public revelation talks about someone who comes to know Jesus and it says, and such were some of you.
Yep.
Who can bring a charge against God elect? God is the one who justifies. And so at the end of the day, if Kanye is legitimately converted, and let's just say he's a baby Christian, and there's going to be times where he's going to say, there's been times where I've said stupid stuff. There's times where I've had people that I've been very close to, I've hurt, I've had falling outs with people that I know and love and care. I've said things that I wish I could have taken back, that I've had to just like give to the Lord. You know, there's times where he's going to say dumb stuff, you know, but you can't use that past like against him biblically. You have to look at the present situations. Yep. So
I loved it, Jerry, because I was actually just going to go into that Bible verse.
Yeah.
Who can bring a charge against God's elect? Because that goes in with me where I'm at with Kanye, is that he's professed Christ. I have no physical, tangible evidence to even bring a charge against this man. Yeah, there's issues like you said, what he said about T.D. Jakes, Mormonism, even going to talk with Joel Osteen. But those are more areas people can grow in. But if I know what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, the wicked person that I was, that he died for, God in the flesh, that he died for, how then could I bring a charge against a man without actually having this evidence? Because it's almost overstepping the sacrifice of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's a scary position to be in. Who is anyone to try to overstep the boundaries of Christ's sacrifice for a person?
When he's already said, he told the devil in Hands On, the song, told the devil, I'm going on a strike. I've been working for you my whole life. Told the devil when I see him on sight. So he says his entire life prior to his profession, which according to his testimony was the beginning of May, the very end of April, that everything prior to that moment was working, quote, working for the devil his whole life.
Yeah.
So he's already publicly acknowledged that. Yeah, that's of the devil. Did I say I sold my soul? Yeah. Did I, you know, make some claims about the universe speaking through me? And did I adopt some weird, pseudo New Age ideas about how fate works, about what is and isn't operating through me? He has said some weird New Agey stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And actually, Yandi, the album that he was going to release.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song on the album called The Law of Attraction. There's another song called Alien or something. It's like there's some New Age themes in that album. But he says, I was going to release Yandi, Jesus Christ Did the Laundry.
Yep, yep.
So once again, we can't go to Yandi and say, well, he wrote about this at the end of 2018. The question is, does he stand by any of that now?
Yeah.
He's publicly renounced it.
Yeah. Right. For example, you look at even his album, Yeezus, and the song, like, I Am a God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like I was just, this is a weird thing. So I was really wanting to know, as someone who followed Kanye's career and just knowing like a style of music, the guy is incredibly talented. Just the amount of things he's been able to compose and put together. He's very gifted. And I would say that even he's like, God is the one, God has made us all very creative. That's just part of the dominion mandate, like to work, till and subdue the earth, and his one is like through artistry, like through, he's gifted through fashion, and like, you know, because I know you're a big lover of shoes, you got some cool looking extra shoes at Ross the other day, and they're not exactly
for
prices.
$30
for
$30.
I love it.
Yeah, you're not gonna be showing up in preacher sneakers soon, but they just started following us on Instagram, so maybe we'll hear the plug. If you guys want to check out an awesome Instagram account, Preacher Sneakers, I always get a kick out.
It's funny,
kick out of them, or kicks out of them, no pun intended.
Oh, that's good.
He is someone who you're looking through his entire career, and I was even listening to some of his music prior to the album being released, because I just want to kind of get, I wanted to filter the old versus the new. And even like the song, I Am a God, like, mm-hmm. I believe like there's levels in which he meant what he said, and it's like, and almost in level, like that song is legit. For me, it's like legitimately terrifying. Because there are a lot of people who think that about themselves. But you compare that with Jesus Christ, the very last part, the very last song on the album, where it says 40. It's funny, when I first listened to the very last track on it, I kept on thinking something was wrong with my phone. I'm like, why is it stopping at 40 seconds? Like, what the heck? I kept on like starting it again. Like, oh, it's only 40 seconds. And I was realizing, I think what he was trying to imply and say as an artist, that that basically Jesus must increase and I must decrease, because he could have made this huge grand finale, but it was very simplistic, 40 seconds. Every knee shall bow, every single tongue shall confess, Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Which unfortunately that a sermon guy was wrong. So,
right.
So let's do this. We have a lot more that we can unpack. There's a couple of things we also need to discuss. One of the other legitimate concerns that we have, especially there's levels to be cautiously optimistic. There's levels where you can be legitimately concerned, not because of spinning this whole, all these narratives together, trying to find a shape or a triangle or something like that that's very vague and arbitrary. But there is a reality that in ministry, even kind of being on any level in the public sphere, and you know, you have a large following, you know, our podcast, we have a couple of episodes that really, like, we hit the top of iTunes in a couple different categories a couple of times. There's levels on which anyone has that temptation when you're in front of the camera to be in the public sphere, to make it be prideful and have it be all about you when you're talking about someone who's really big. So if you look at the level of celebrity that he has, I mean, Kanye West, who's been won multiple Grammy Awards, he's married to Kim Kardashian. There's just the level of publicity you get being with him. So even though if Kanye has the best of motives, there's a lot of people out there who want to be a preacher for the sake of fame. Like we were talking about, there's this sort of preacher industrial complex right now of guys with expensive shoes, like skinny jeans, and like that special like crew cuts that they have, and they all just kind of go through this mold. And like there's a lot of them that want to be these like famous Instagram preachers, whereas kind of like, why wouldn't you want to kind of be with like Kanye West? And let's just say Kanye has the best of motives, but they're not doctrinally solid. Like a lot of them are not. And we're gonna probably talk a little bit about Joel Osteen in the next episode. There's levels in which this could gather people with the wrong motives and could have undue influence on Kanye, which could go really bad really fast, given all the different things he wants to do, like producing Jesus King Part 2 with Dr. Dre, which we could even talk about that too. The whole level is so interesting. There's that. Go ahead with what you want to say.
Yeah, I would say this too, is that you know, all things we've talked about, and there's things we haven't talked about which we need to, like the dome, where does that originate from?
Yeah.
That, you know, there's this clip of him at Coachella, and he's worshiping in a circle, and they compare this picture of the circle to a New Age rainbow circle, and saying, well, this is New Age, and this is a cult. Well, that, first of all, he wasn't saved then. He never claimed to be saved then. So that's part of his old life that falls under the category of, quote, working for the devil. So we can take that off the table as evidence. Mm-hmm. But my question is this, is that, you know, when it comes to someone like Justin Peters, right, or when it comes to someone like Adam Tyson, who is an adjunct professor at Masters University, who is an alumni of Masters University, who has a Doctor of Ministry degree and a Masters of Divinity degree, who has spent countless hours ministering to Kanye, discipling him, having Bible studies with Kanye, being flown out by Kanye to Wyoming to have Bible studies with him, having Bible studies at his house, having meetings, 2-3 hour meetings where Adam's going through the gospel and Kanye has his phone out taking pictures of, you know, Romans 1:17 and, you know, Romans 3 and John 14:6, because he wants all these scriptures. He's so enthusiastic about what he's reading that he says, I want to go to Masters and take classes myself. Yeah. He said this.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, pastor, can we have you come preach these Bible studies at Sunday service? And Adam Tyson is like, I don't know if that would be a good idea. Well, can you come preach then? I want you to preach for an hour. He's like, you don't want me to preach for an hour. You don't want me to preach at all. Why not? Because I'm going to preach the gospel, and it's going to change the dynamic of Sunday service. He's like, that's what I want. I want people to hear about God.
Mm.
Right? So for someone who has had this exposure to Kanye, has all the theological training, who has real life experience, discipling people, protecting his flock from real wolves, identifying real converts from false converts. He's a counselor as well. We have Justin Peters, who's in a discernment ministry for a living. Neither of these two men, they're exposed to all the same information we are.
Yeah.
His theological gaffes, his pricey merch being sold at his events. And none of these people aren't coming to a conclusion that he's 100% unsaved on the basis of those things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? So my question would be, I want to be careful how I say this. Why would we think that, I mean, I'll use myself hypothetically. Why would I assume about myself that someone who hasn't, this isn't true of me, but who hasn't discipled anyone, who's never had any real life ministry experience, who's never shepherded a flock, who has 2% of the exposure to scripture and theological training that these two men have, what do I know that makes me 100% certain that he's a false convert so strongly that anyone who disagrees needs to be exposed? What do I know that these two men who discern, teach, preach, live, breathe the word of God for a living, one of whom has spent dozens of hours with this man to you spending zero with him. What do you know that they don't know when we've all been exposed to the same content? Mm. And there needs to be this intellectual humility mm-hmm. upon realizing, hey, let's listen to the testimony of witnesses before we pass judgment. Because he's optimistic God's moving in his heart. He thinks he is.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he is. Doesn't mean he's not. Doesn't mean that he's saved. Doesn't mean that if he is moving, the devil can't come and steal the seeds later. But the question is, if we're going to claim something so positively and passionately to the contrary, what do we know and what have we been exposed to that Adam Tyson, who does this for a living, preaches, eats, breathes, sleeps the word of God
seriously
for a living and is pastoring a flock, discerning false converts from true converts for a living.
Yeah, seriously.
Right? Versus someone who knows a couple Bible verses about end times out of context and, you know, has never spoken to Kanye, sat with Kanye, or even heard anything he said post-conversion. Mm. Mm-hmm. There needs to be this intellectual humility. I'm not making an appeal to authority, to Justin Peters or Adam Tyson to say Kanye is saved. But it's like...
Well, their authority is scripture.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to be mindful that there's very, very credible men mm-hmm. of God who are seeing all these same things. The meeting with Ulfstein. You know, Adam Tyson's like, there's some people we're not in theological agreement with, and it's concerning. And but that's there's a difference between something being concerning and something being sufficient to establish a guilty verdict.
Yep. Yeah.
Two totally, totally different things. And one more thing I'll say real quick is that, you know, within like communities that I'm involved in online, like I do have some loose ties to some discernment type ministries that are premillennial and that are concerned about end time stuff.
Yeah.
And at best, a brother who I really respect has released a couple videos on this saying we need to be careful. There's some things that are concerning. I'm not sold. Let's be careful. Let's not hop on the bandwagon. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody in my circle of influence, YouTuber, Instagram, or people who their account is end times based. People in real life ministry. I go speak at like Hear the Watchmen end times conferences, for mm-hmm. example.
Yeah.
People who write books on this stuff for a living. They aren't coming to the same conclusions that these spurious YouTube and Instagram accounts are. About him being a wolf in sheep's clothing. And these are people who are actually biblically qualified,
right?
Who have their face out there, who are walking the walk and talking the talk, who have reputation in ministry, who have people who can vouch for them. They have references because they're actually in the public. They're not hiding behind a screen. You understand?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. people who are actually reliable in this very field of discerning.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't on this boat, on this ship of Kanye's a Freemason, Illuminatist, but they'll write books about how the Illuminati and deep state occultists are influencing things. So just want to throw that out there.
Awesome. So this has been, I feel like we're just kind of like getting our gears going, and I'm super pumped to kind of jump into part two of this discussion. So Stephen, appreciate you coming here and really having kind of really important conversation. I hope you guys will really appreciate what we brought up here in part one. So if you like this episode, go ahead and listen, go ahead and comment. I'm sure you'll definitely be commenting on this episode. I don't even have to tell you, but let us know what you thought about this discussion. Go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know what you thought. Also, we need your support here to continue to produce more content here at Cultish. We have a lot of things in the pipeline, multiple different episodes, episodes about Epstein, stuff on Seventh-day Adventism. We're jumping into that. Hebrew Roots, which you mentioned, we have an episode like that in the works right now as we speak. There's just so many things, but we cannot do this without your support. There's all this work and all this whole stage and stuff. There's a lot of people who work hard for that. So if you go to thecultishshow.com, go to the donate tab, and you can either support us monthly or donate one time. We need your support there. And we're just going to pray and trust the Lord with that. All that being said, we'll jump into part two of discerning all things Kanye West, conspiracies, Joel Osteen. We're going to jump more into in part two. We'll talk to you guys soon on Cultish and part two of this discussion.